Amen. So thankful this morning to be able to be here once again, see all these bright faces. And I hope that in spite of our crazy weather, that no one got sick this week. I've been praying for a lot of sick folks, so good to see everyone was able to come out. Won't hold you too long today, but since we are here, I figure I'll give you a little message. I'm going to read from the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 18 through 23. Book of Luke, chapter 6, 18 through 23. And we talked about putting a notes section in the bulletin, because some of us like to take notes and scribble. But I figured instead of that, if you want to take notes, which you should take notes, you should have your own little notebook that you can keep and bring every Sunday and every service. And there you can have a log of all the nice little gems you pick up. Amen? Just a suggestion. Luke 6, verses 18 through 23. And it reads as thus. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Father God, we humble ourselves now and open our hearts and open our minds in anticipation of receiving a healing word from you today, an uplifting word, a word that will draw us closer to you, a word that allows you to reveal yourself in a greater way to us, in our walk and in our purpose. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Well, it's Love Week. So let's talk about some love. I guess every week, actually, I talk about love in some form or fashion. If we're talking about Christ and what he means to us in our lives and humanity and man, there's got to be some love in there. I know in the old days, you used to have the good fire and brimstone sermons. Nothing wrong with those, because we need to understand the situation we're in. We're in a situation where fire and burning and deception and deceit is a reality. But to counter that, God sent his love. He sent his love in the form of Jesus. And so today I want to look at how we can better receive that love, better recognize it, better allow it to have place and power in our life. There's an old Jewish story where the rabbi says, in the olden days, there were men who saw the face of God. And the young pupil asks, well, why don't they see him anymore? And the rabbi said, because nowadays, no one stoops so low to be able to see him. And it is, it's in our lowliest times, in our times where we've fallen to a place where we can't even see ourselves anymore, where it becomes very clear to see God. I've told you all in the past week or so that we lost our dog. We consider him one of our family. And as we were going through that, and Kelly was very upset about it, and I was too, but I guess I wasn't showing it as much. And she would come to me and say, you know, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? Well, actually, we'd have a nice conversation. And that's fine. And she would ask, you know, how come you're not more upset? And I said, well, you know, I am upset. That was my guy. But, you know, when you go through things in life, you learn kind of how to draw on your strength, to not let things that come at you just tear you down and break you. Earlier in my life, I lost two dear friends. When I first went off to college, 18 years old, and me and my buddies, you know, we had the crew in high school, and we all had plans. We were going to do all these big things. We were going to be sports agents. That was our thing. We were going to start our own sports agency. And that was the dream. I was going to go to law school. We were all going to go and get together when we were done. In the first year of college, one of our buddies, Imani, got in a car accident. And he died. And I remember very vividly the day I found out. I remember exactly what I was doing. And many of us, we remember very vividly when we get news that are just astonishes us. Maybe 9/11, you remember exactly where you were when you heard the news. But we go through those things, and maybe the first time we go through something like that, it shakes us. We don't know how to deal with it. I remember at the funeral, I got so upset I had to speak at the funeral, and I got through it, and I gave my speech during the eulogy, and I thought I'd made it through, and we were walking out, and I walked past his casket, and I did like you see on TV. I just fell apart. I started crying, and I think I broke a few things in the church. God forgive me. But it shook me, right? But after that, I lost another friend, and I had to deal with that, and other things happen in life that we have to deal with, and going through those things, we learn how to draw on strength to get through them. And that strength that we pull from is our love. We may not think of it that way, but that's what it is. It's the love that we have inside of us, that God has imbued us with, that we draw from when things are hard, when things are tough, when they wear us down. Our courage, it comes out of our passion, our love for the situation. If you have kids, you understand that if something was to happen, you would do almost anything in your will and your might to help them, to save them. That's your love coming. It's the strength we have. And that love endures. It gets us through hard situations. Love relates and it impacts our emotional memory. And what was the last thing that maybe moved you to tears? That whatever that thing was, and even if it was tears of joy or sadness, it stems from love. This love, it triggers and overwhelms the senses. We're reaching into the well of our souls, and it allows us to pour out an indomitable expression. This love, it's our capacity for compassion and courage, and overcoming the hardships and pain, struggles, our defeats that we face again and again and again and again. So these three ways of love, how love interacts with us, we're going to talk about today. That love is first is our strength. Secondly, love is our situation. And finally, love is our salvation. See, in the text, Jesus is talking to the crowd. They've all come and they've gathered because he was healing people. And the text says that those troubled by impure spirits were cured. And the people all tried to simply just touch him because of the power that was coming from him. They could just feel his power. And they knew if they could just touch him, that the impurities of their life would be washed away. Oh, if we had that opportunity where we could just touch him, just allow him enough to have space in our lives that the impurities, those evils that we wrestle with day in and day out, those things that we've carried along, that baggage that weighs us down, that keeps us in our old self, if we could just touch him and have all of that wiped away, the things that we endure in life, if we could just find the strength to love. Martin Luther King wrote a book called The Strength to Love. In it, he says that returning hate for hate only multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. But darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. This strength to love, the enduring, the unfair, the unaccounted weight of hate that we face in this world. Maybe we don't conquer it, but somehow, by the grace of God, if we can just make it through. And as we look back over our lives and we get to that place and we can say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I have ended up? Stuck, not making it through at all. But God gives us this strength to love. And it's not a fleeting strength. It's not something that comes and goes, even though in our minds seemingly it does. Because our minds race and rattle, and we're over here and we're over there. But that strength that we have is solid. It's a foundation of who we are. If we just turn to it, if we learn how to rely on it, not on our thinking and what we think needs to happen, but if we search our hearts and surrender it over to Christ in those moments where we're not sure how to handle it. Maybe when we think we do know how, we say, Lord, I just call on your strength in this moment to help me to get through this situation. Then he'll take whatever the situation is. It may seem bad to you, but he'll transform it into a love situation. Where no matter what's happening around, no matter how people are coming at you, how negative it may seem, you're solid in that strength that he's given you. And you can walk through it and navigate and talk and be a blessing to them. Not just be there and be quiet, but you can speak words to them that are being a blessing to their life. See, this is what Christ does in this moment. See, he's surrounded by people who are hurting. People who are carrying around these evil spirits, it says. They're the lowliest of the low. They don't have a place in society. And he says to them something that throws them all out of whack. He tells them they're blessed. They're blessed. That doesn't make any sense. How am I blessed? The world is telling me I'm cursed at best. The world is telling me I'm poor, meaning I don't have anything. Even if it says poor in spirit, it means I have nothing to give. I'm lowly. I have no will to do something. I'm defeated. He says, you're blessed. How can that be? But he understood that no matter the situation, that if you allow his love in, it's available to all. No matter where you are in your station, it's available to all. Bowed head and lowered eyes, the strength that we find, he gives it to us because we're blessed. There's a famous poem that speaks of how being in these lowly places, this blessing allows us to stand up from it. Maybe you've heard of Maya Angelou. She wrote this beautiful poem called I Rise, and just a piece of it I want to say. It says, did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops weakened by my soulful cries? You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still like air, I rise. That's the promise we have. That's the salvation that God promises no matter the situation we find ourselves in. Poor, hungry, grief-stricken, hated by the world. He says, I don't care, you're blessed because you're mine. Before whatever the world may call you and you think you are mine. And so therefore, you're blessed. That word blessed in the Greek is makarios, which actually in the Greek it means that you're like the gods. See, the gods had no worries. The gods were found themselves in a place without judgment. They lived a casual life above the worries of man. Not in luxury material-wise, but luxury in their lifestyle, in their thinking, in their spirit. And so this word, makarios, he's saying it doesn't matter the worldly situations. With my love, with my blessing, you rise to have no worries. You don't have to be concerned with this world. I place you in a place above what man can label you as. See, in the depths of our blinding situation, God brings us to a light of his salvation. That's what his love brings. See, in this little picture here, it's the heritage which God had promised Israel. Israel, he said, you are my people. I choose you. From among all of the world, I choose you to be mine. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you. You are my blessing. You are the seed that I'm going to do all of my work through. And now we find Jesus in the same scenario, calling out his people, his chosen. But his chosen is by a belief. It's by us believing in him, by leaning on him, by turning to him in every scenario, in every situation, by finding that strength to love, that power to love, knowing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because that's what he's telling them. You're blessed in the situation that the world sees as negative. The world says you're poor. That's fine. I'm saying that you're blessed. You're beyond that. The world says you're stupid for believing in a God you can't even see, having faith in something you can't touch, following after a belief that has no historical evidence, supposedly. You're a silly people. It's fine, let them hate you. Let them ridicule you. Let them materialize everything. I don't care, because you're blessed. You're above every label, everything that they say. You have risen to a place, a consciousness that they can't understand. Your faith lifts you up beyond man's reason. And because of that, you are blessed. We have that love in us. If we just rely on that. The problem is, it's so easy for us to believe the world's lies. To believe what they're trying to influence us with. Just as that crowd, they had come to Jesus because the world had rejected them. The world had told them something that made them less than important. It told them that who they were wasn't to be respected. wasn't to be loved. And so Christ says, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that situation, that predicament, those who are rejected, and I'm going to call you mine. I'm going to accept you in to the kingdom of heaven. So let us remember that it's not about what the world is trying to tell us. It's not whether we're right all the time, whether we're doing certain things. It happens at a first place within, where we decide, who are we going to be? Who are we going to love? We spend all week about love and spending on someone, giving something, expecting something in return. And Christ says, if you seek me first, put first the kingdom of God. Love me first. Then all these things, whatever it is you're trying to pursue, whatever it is you think you want, I'll put it in alignment. It may not be exactly as you thought it would be, but the way it'll turn out will be better than you could have ever imagined. That's his promise. Prove him wrong. Prove him wrong today. Love him first. Feel silly. Let the world ridicule you. Who cares? Watch what he does in return. If you understand that part of it, if you take that with you today, I promise you that tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that, it'll be transformative. Things will begin to happen you never thought could. But we have to have the strength to turn to him, the strength to love. As the band comes forward, the song that they're going to do, it speaks of how we can put so many things before God in our lives. I know in my own life, I wanted so many things. I wanted to be all these things. More than anything, I just wanted to be important. I just wanted to do something that mattered, that would be remembered. I remember I had a sign in my room that said that you're loved because God don't make no junk. And I took that and I said, I'm going to do something. But my mistake was that I tried to do it in the world. I kept pushing the world to give me what I wanted. And the world would give it to me a little bit, and then it wouldn't turn out the way I thought it should. But one day, he allowed me, he blessed me long enough. And I live long enough. We can attest to this. You live long enough, you get to that place where it hits you. Oh, it's not about me. Oops. It's about who created me. Let me really give my life to him. Let me really make it only about Jesus. So remember that as we sing the song, Only Jesus. Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can give his empty dreams. Got lost in the light, thought it was up to me to make a name the world would remember. Jesus is the only name to remember. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. And all the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, gather into dust when it's said and done. Is all that real?
Did I live the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one?
There is a one who does not